It doesn't seem like it, but it was about 20 years ago that an acronym became very famous. Everybody was talking about it, everybody was using it, especially if you were a retailer, and it was BOG OFF. Buy one, get one free. Remember it? How could we forget? The chance of getting something for nothing? Well, so it seemed. Yes, acronyms are popular still. And my first acronym that I remember was DIB, DIB, DIB. As a sixer in the Cubs, it was my duty and honour and privilege, I thought I was so important at the time, to give that call to the pack. And their answer was, dob, dob, dob. Well, do your best, dib, dib, dib. And the answer was, from the pack, do our best, dob. Then at school we had to learn some things which were deemed important, and I remember having to learn what NATO stood for. But I never thought for a minute, when I was 13 or so, learning about NATO, N-A-T-O, that I would have in my church as a member a viscount who was, as a minister of defence, someone who championed that organisation. That organisation which represented peace and togetherness of some of our sister nations. The North Atlantic Treaty Organisation. It was the late George Younger, a former General Assembly High Commissioner, and he also served as Secretary of State for Scotland, but I'm sure you knew that. And when he was a commissioner at the Assembly, Anne and I had the privilege to receive an invitation to go to Holyrood Palace and meet them there. And I remember Diane saying to us, come here, Richard, and sit here. The Queen left this morning, and you can sit here on this sofa. What a lovely couple they were, and they stayed in an estate outside Kirkconnock, where I was a minister. And I was a privilege to be their minister, as well as the rest of the congregation. What a gracious man and couple they were. But of course, at 13, I never thought I'd be a minister either. The very last thing I thought I would be. I was happy enough to be in the Cubs and the Scouts. Of course, there's a lot of humorous acronyms as well. F-O-R-D, Ford, Fix or Repair Daily. And I'm sorry if you own a Ford car. Then there's T-E-E-H, Teeth, Tried Everything Else, Try Homeopathy. And for Weight Watchers, conscious about their weight, diet, D-I-E-T. Do I eat today? From a parable of Jesus, I'm going to be speaking about another parable this week, I have thought up an acronym, which is G-I-F-T-S, gifts, G-I-F-T-S, God's intention for the saints. Four acronyms have been in the news this week, and one seemed to backfire like a damn squib. But it gave the new Prime Minister the last laugh. Done. Deliver Brexit,
United. United Kingdom defeat Corbyn. Done. This week, however, he added an E onto the end of it to make good. Now he's number 10. Who's what happened now? Well, enough of politics. It's not appropriate for a pulpit anyway. And I'm sure we'll have our fill of it all. And there's plenty more to keep Orra Kingsborough in a job until Halloween or even Christmas. Yes, this morning I came up with a religious acronym which suits the message, GIFTS, G-I-F-T-S, God's Intention for the Saints. First of all, let's look at the Gospel story in Luke chapter 10. And we also want to look at an important sentence: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And to explain what Jesus meant, he told a parable, probably one of the most well-known parables of all, the Good Samaritan. Let's look at the scene. But before that, you'll know from the Bible that Jewish people and the Samaritans did not get on very well together, to say the least. In fact, the Jews hated their race. Regarding the journey from Jerusalem to Jericho, it was a notorious, dangerous place to travel. A historian, Jerome, in the 5th century called it the Red and Bloody Way. And even in the 1800s, local sheikhs took safety money for the passage of weary travellers. Therefore, when Jesus was narrating this story, his audience would know exactly what he was all about. And we have four characters: the traveller, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan. The traveller took his journey, and perhaps we could say, at the least, he was foolhardy, maybe even reckless. My grand would have said he was a bit of a dumpling. I don't know why that came into the vocabulary, because she made the best dumplings in the world. Quoted dumplings, everyone's going to be missing. You'd have even greaseproof paper and you'd have silver thread there. That. Well, my granny made the best dumplings in the world. Well, maybe it was soft in the head like a dumpling been soft. I don't know. But she'd have said he was a bit of a dumpling. But there was probably urgency in his visit. Probably had to get from A to B. However, people seldom journeyed alone for fear of brigands, and there were safety numbers, especially on this road. Then, of course, we have the priest who hastened past and gave him a wide berth. It's interesting that from this story we get a phrase, a Bible phrase, that has been adopted into general use. There's quite a few of them, and this one to pass by the other side. I suspect the priest's main concern was that if the man was dead, the priest would be excluded from temple ceremonial duty because he had come in contact with someone who was deceased. So, a charitable act was, as they say in Glasgow, out the window, as temple liturgy took priesthood over pain. Then, of course, we have the Levite. And he was a descendant of the tribe of Levi, and he would be a kind of religious assistant in the temple. Important, but perhaps not quite as important as a priest in Orthodox Judaism. I wonder if he hastened on thinking that if he stopped, maybe this man wasn't injured at all. Maybe it was a decoy to cause him to stop in the journey and then be subject to be robbed or worse. So his motto also seemed to be, hurry on, safety first. Then we come to the Samaritan, who you've all heard about before. In the listener's ears, he was the baddie. There's no doubt about that. He might not even have been a Samaritan racially, for the name was sometimes used by Jews to describe heretics or people who broke ceremonial convention. In fact, in John's Gospel, chapter 8 and 48, we read, the Jews, these Jews that were opposing Jesus, we know all about them. The Jews said to Jesus, aren't we right? You are a Samaritan and demon-possessed. Yes, it seems a Samaritan would refer generally to anyone who wasn't Orthodox. And one thing we can say about Jesus was, he wasn't Orthodox. Could then this traveller, in fact, be a Jew who was out of sync with over-elaborate Orthodox Judaism? We note two things about our first aider. His credit was good. Clearly the innkeeper was prepared to trust him. He may, of course, have been a regular traveller. He may have been theologically unsound as far as the Jews were concerned, but he was an honest man. He alone was there ready to help. A heretic, perhaps in Jewish eyes, maybe, but he had the love of God in his heart. My friends, never let us be blinded by dogma. Surely the world, and more importantly, the Lord, will always judge us by the lives we live. Then, importantly, we have the message of the parable. At the beginning of the passage, the scribe asks the question in earnest, and Jesus answers with his question. How do you read or understand the law? Well, strict Jews wore leather boxes on their wrists. And in these boxes contain some passages from the Exodus and Deuteronomy. And including these words, on the wrists were, you shall love the Lord your God. And they walked about with that. And sometimes it things in the forehead as well. But we're talking about these wristbands. So, wristbands are not something which is new. You know, the kids love these wristbands. Then if you go in and on pose a holiday, you get a wristband, which means you get everything or nothing. You get gin and tonic and that kind of stuff. I presume it's a local stuff. But you also get lemonade as well, and nice lollies, because of a wristband. Well, these Jews had these special leather boxes that contained scripture. But it's interesting actually in this passage that this learned scribe added something else that bids a man to love his neighbour
as himself.
He actually volunteered that. That's interesting, isn't it? A man should also love his neighbor as himself. Therefore, because of the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles and the Samaritans, we have in Scripture this story that Jesus told. And so the Samaritan turns out to be the hero. So good, in fact, that he gives this man some gifts. Well, I wasn't free anyway. He gives him friendship for a start. What a great gift that is, the gift of friendship. And he gave him money. That's a great gift as well. Someone gives you money, isn't it? So he gave this man money. And the wonderful gift that helped the man recover his health. That's a great gift as well. To help someone recover from an injury or an illness. So this story has a special message for us. For it tells us also about God, who is so generous that he gives us gifts. And it's about our masters of love as well. And so we can use our acronym, GIFTS. We can say something important today. God's intention for the saints. What do I mean when I use the word saints? Surely not this congregation. You're too alive to be saints. Surely a saint is someone who lived long, long ago. Like St. John or St. Andrew or Paul or Mother Teresa. No. And we don't need to be beautified for a number of years before we're made saints. We're beautiful enough. Well, the ladies anyway. No, according to the Bible, as Jack read to us from Colossians, we are the saints. The Christians in Colossae were saints. Surely it applies to us as well. Saints intended to be good. Good. That's a new word that the youngsters have latched on to, isn't it? We use it as well as more senior people. Okay and fine has gone out of fashion. My grandson says, how are you, Carol? How are you, Jamie? How are you, Alexander? How are you, Katie? Zara, I'm good. Well, I think it's good saying good, isn't it? Because it's good that we are saints. Ordinary Christian people, like you and me, who delight in serving God. Yes, we have the gift from gifts from God, and we have Jesus himself. It's interesting that through the New Testament we find that Jesus often used journeys, and journeys actually feature not just in the teaching but in the whole part of the New Testament. Think of the first journey Jesus made from Bethlehem back to his hometown. Then there was a journey to Egypt. Then there's all sorts of journeys throughout the New Testament, was there not? The journey into the wilderness. Yes, God's intention for the saints leads us on a journey of discovery. A journey that leads to Jesus. A journey that teaches us to love God. A journey that encourages us to love our neighbors. journey that gives us an inward peace, a journey that leads to eternal life. We don't have a map for the journey, but we do have some instructions summed up in the New Commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. May God bless you as you continue on this journey with the Lord.